listening to Right Side Radio, Solid Conservative, and Just Plain Right. This is Brian Taylor standing in for Phil Williams, who's on Thanksgiving vacation today and for the next couple of days. We've been talking this afternoon already about the verdict in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Guilty. All three defendants guilty of murder in that case. And the question is whether or not the left is going to recant, for lack of a better word, recant their narrative of the last week that our entire system of justice is systemically racist and biased and should be thrown out. And I don't think they will after the Arbery case. I think most people of goodwill will see this case for what it is. It was a jury of the defendant's peers looking at the facts and the evidence. By all accounts, I wasn't there, but it seems like what I've heard from that case that the self-defense defense in that case was not sustainable, was not true. And it sounds like the jury reached a verdict based on the facts and evidence. I think the same thing from the Kyle Rittenhouse case. But, you know, when offered the opportunity to change their mind, progressives, liberals, don't do that. They seem to double down on the things they said before and just dismiss your argument because they don't have a direct response. So here's Jen Psaki when Peter Ducey in the White House press corps, Peter Ducey of Fox News asked Jen Psaki, does President Biden intend to take back what he said about Kyle Rittenhouse being a white supremacist? Here was Jen Psaki's response.
Well, let's be clear what we're talking about here. This is about a campaign video released last year that used President Trump's own words during a debate as he refused to condemn white supremacists and militia groups. And President Trump, as we know from history, and as many of you covered, didn't just refuse to condemn militia groups on the debate stage. He actively encouraged them throughout his presidency. So, you know, what we've seen are the tragic consequences of that. When people think it's okay to take the law into their own hands instead of allowing law enforcement to do its job. And the president believes in condemning hatred, division, and violence. That's exactly what was done in that video.
What you just heard was Jen Psaki doubling down, basically, on Biden's defamatory tweet calling Rittenhouse a white supremacist. She doubled down and said, this is just another example of somebody taking the law into their own hands and committing crimes. So, you know, maybe Kyle can add Jen Psaki now to the list of people he's going to sue for defamation. It's unbelievable how even faced with this kind of outcome, a resounding renunciation of the left's, the narrative that the left have been crying and clamoring for over the last few months during this trial, there's absolutely no admission from the left, from the Biden administration on down, that they were wrong in any way. And I suspect that you're not going to hear, after the Arbery case today, you're not going to hear a lot of people saying, oh, whoops, we were wrong about the justice system being biased, systemically racist. So it is what it is. But, you know, as conservatives, we have a responsibility, we have a duty based on our philosophy, based on our ideology to do it better. And sometimes we fail in that regard, too. And I wanted to read a quick letter to the Wall Street Journal from a law student that was published yesterday. This is a fantastic letter, and it talks a little bit about where we are in today's society, the polarization, the hypocrisy, not just from the left, but on both sides, and what he calls about America's problem with identity politics. He says, Kyle Rittenhouse's trial has revealed America's identity problem. This is not the Manichaean duel between conservatism and progressivism portrayed by the media. No, this struggle is much uglier, characterized by bursts of hypocrisy across the political spectrum. Some of Mr. Rittenhouse's followers decry violence in the streets, then lionize a teenager who brought a rifle to a riot. Some of Mr. Rittenhouse's opponents rail against racial profiling, then label Mr. Rittenhouse a white supremacist militiaman simply because he is white and was carrying a weapon. A congressman denounces incarceration, but then demands that Mr. Rittenhouse be summarily imprisoned. It seems that many express opposition to violence, imprisonment, racism, and a host of similar ills while actually celebrating these things when they afflict their ideological opponents. America has a hypocrisy problem that is poisoning our national identity. I thought that was very well written. That was Jacob Hawes, who is a law student from Pennsylvania State University, in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and very insightful and very fair analysis, both of the left and the right. And so, you know, we as conservatives, when these things happen, we need to make sure that we are adhering to the principles that we believe in and maintaining consistency based on those principles and not based on the outcomes we're pursuing.
It is ironic seeing the people who are against, say, capital punishment, try and get these truly terrible criminals off who have murdered and sexually assaulted or tortured their victims, and they want them out of prison. They hate the word punishment. And now in these cases, somehow it's a completely different standard.
Yeah, you know, there is a movement, and again, it's also using the identity politics of race to justify calls to empty the prisons of violent prisoners, to just empty the prisons because the prisons are an example of mass incarceration based on race. And I'm glad you bring that up, Copper, because I want to go back to this article that I read a little while ago, if I can find it here, the Riley article. Well, I'll come back to it in a minute. I'll look at it at the next break. I put it down. But he makes the point in his column that the left doesn't stop at common sense. The left goes up far beyond common sense and polarizes these issues beyond any level of defense by people of goodwill, people of common sense. And so we're stuck with the situation in the media. And let me say this, the media are largely to blame. I've said this for years. People say, why are politics in America so polarized? Why can't we get along? Why does it seem like there's a black and white polarization to American politics? And I'll tell you this, because the media runs on ratings. And the only way that they get the ratings that they get is by simplifying these issues. They simplify them dramatically, and they simplify it down to two sides, and they have to polarize those sides to make it look absolutely like there's no middle ground, like there's nothing anyone can agree on. And so you have the most extreme statement coming from the left on an issue and the most extreme statement coming from a right on the issue. And the mistake that we all make is we characterize the Republicans this way and the Democrats that way. And that is coming from the media's need for ratings and the need to sensationalize every story. And it's going back to what this young law student wrote. We need to step back in this country and recognize when we're being hypocritical. And I think conservatives, that's really a part of our founding philosophy, is to be true to our principles, even when the outcome doesn't necessarily go the way that we want. And in fact, that's, you know, you hear conservatives talk a lot about the role of the judiciary. The conservative role of judges is not to make the law, not to achieve certain outcomes in their cases, but to just call balls and strikes, to interpret and apply the law to specific cases. And so what does that mean? If you're a conservative, that means you don't look for Supreme Court cases that are going to overturn institutions and overturn precedent. You look for Supreme Court cases where the judges are simply taking the law and they're putting their own opinions, their own personal biases to the side, and they're making decisions based on the law. And so that's what conservatism is about. Sometimes we make mistakes and we get wrapped up in the sensationalism too. And we just need to be careful about doing that. I want to talk a little bit about, are we going to a break yet? Yeah, let's go to break real quick. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in space. You're listening to Right Side Radio. This is Brian Taylor standing in for Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. We'll be right back. Brian Taylor here filling in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Here on WVNN, News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Phil Williams is on Thanksgiving vacation for the next couple of days with his family. And we're just trying to make our way through the news today. Of course, the Ahmaud Arbery case, we've got a verdict in that case. All three defendants have been found guilty. And no renunciations from the left yet about their accusations that the entire American justice system needs to be abolished because of its systemically racist character. But we're not expecting that anyway. You know, interesting on the social justice front, Enes Kanter and LeBron James, if you've been paying any attention to this, have had a little back and forth. Enes Kanter has called LeBron James out on his shoes and recently tweeted, "Did you educate yourself about the slave labor that made your shoes, or is that not part of your research?" And it was a little mean-spirited tweet towards LeBron James there and started a little bit of a kerfuffle. But LeBron brushed it off. LeBron said he wasn't going to give any of his energy to that tweet. But Kanter has not gone away. He was on Fox News this morning. And here's what he had to say about China. His course is what he was talking about, slave labor in China used to manufacture shoes and the situation with the NBA, the weight that China carries over the NBA. Here's Enes Kanter.
I mean, someone had to do it. You know, you see, there is so many athletes, so many actors, you know, so many singers and rappers out there. They're scared. They're scared to say a word because they care too much about their money. They care too much about their endorsement deals. They care too much about what the teams that they play for are going to say. But you know, they should know one thing. It should be morals and principles over money. It shouldn't be the opposite way, because people's lives depends on this. And it's so important, especially athletes, because there are so many young generation out there are watching us and idolizing us. So if we don't stand up against these dictatorships, who will? So to me, it was really important. And I do feel alone, yes, because so many, you know, people out there are scared to say a word because they care too much about the business side of it. But to me, human rights are way more important than everything you can offer me.
And that's Enes Kanter explaining his position that he's staked out in the NBA, calling truth to power, if you will, on the issue of slave labor in China and LeBron James and others benefiting financially off that slave labor, pretending, in his words, to be supporting the social justice movement. So what is Kanter talking about? What's going on in China? Well, of course, he's referring to the concentration camps. Human rights watchers have estimated that some 1 million members of the Muslim ethnic minority, the Uyghurs in China, are encamped in concentration camps. Of course, China calls them re-education camps and has defended them. But human rights watchers have said that that a million are locked in concentration camps, and some 500,000, half a million people have been forced to pick cotton. And so it's interesting. I think the point that Kanter is making is worthy of discussing, because he's pointing out that while many in this country want to talk about social justice and a systemically racist society, we're not paying attention to what's going on in China. And in fact, some folks are benefiting financially off of it. So China is widely considered by the intelligence community now to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, threat to the United States. And so it's worth talking a little bit about what's going on in China, particularly in regards to space. I don't know if, Copper, we were talking about this at the top of the show. NASA, using one of Elon Musk's Falcon 9 rockets, has launched a satellite into space with the intent of ramming it into an asteroid some 6 million miles for Earth, 6 million miles from Earth. And there's no threat. Don't worry. There's no threat that the asteroid is headed towards our planet. This is just a test to see if they can actually throw a slingshot at an asteroid and knock it just a tad bit off course, so that in the future we can develop a way to attack rogue asteroids. So that's what NASA's up to. Meanwhile, China is launching hypersonic ballistic missiles into space that threaten our homeland and threaten our ability to defend ourselves. And this is deeply concerning for the military, for the intelligence community, trying to figure out what's going on, because no other country in the world has developed technology of the kind that, that the American intelligence community is now saying that we're witnessing coming out of China. So, you know, we're focused on an asteroid coming to Earth, that remote possibility that that could happen one day. Meanwhile, China is funding their military, standing up their military, standing up their cyber operations. And we don't really know what they're doing. It's kind of baffled the intelligence community. We think it probably has something to do with Taiwan. And we're going to come back in just a minute. We'll come back at the top of the hour and talk a little bit more like that. I've got a quote from General Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, talking a little bit about China and the threat they pose to the United States. But I wanted to talk about it in the context of our discussion here in this country about social justice, because while we're busy worrying about Kyle Rittenhouse in this country, other countries that want to end our way of life as we know it are spending a lot of money ramping up their military, ramping up their capabilities, and it should be of deep concern to us. So we'll be back in just a minute. Thank you for listening to Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Copper, I've got to keep going. Well, we'll keep going then. This is what happens when you're on the air for the first time in a long time.
But I appreciate your point about what China's doing in space. It always makes me laugh when people, especially environmentalists, say, why are we spending so much money going into space? I just want to hand them a copy of The Killer Angels and The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. You're a military guy, so you probably know that line, that deny the enemy the high ground.
Yeah, and I tell you, that China's got the high ground. That's not me saying it. That's not you saying that. It's the American intelligence community really baffled by these tests that China has been running. And, you know, the question is, why are they doing it? I mean, do we think China is going to attack the United States? Probably not. Probably not anytime soon. China's probably after Taiwan. And what they're doing is they're trying to show military force. They're trying to show power, to convey power, so that when they do seek to overtake Taiwan, the U.S. will choose not to interfere for fear of retaliation from China. And I'll tell you, there's been a lot of talk lately about the weakness that President Biden, that the Biden administration has been portraying from this country towards China. And so let's talk about that in just a minute. Again, Phil Williams is out on Thanksgiving holiday. We miss you, Phil. Trust me, I miss you right now a lot. But we're having a good time here. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.